So, if I asked you a question tonight, what are some of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to us? What would come to your mind? Now, I've got a few things that I scribbled down I'd like to share with you, and there's a multitude more, but the first thing that came to my mind was the Lord Jesus Christ, the dear Lamb of God. Amen? The one that left the splendors of glory and came down here to a sinful earth. Huh? That He would be rejected and spit upon and mocked. He'd be denied. Amen? He'd be betrayed, but yet He'd willingly go to a hill called Calvary and lay His life down and shed all His blood that we might be redeemed. Amen? So, of course, the first thing would come to my mind would be thanking God for that special gift of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, second thing that come to my mind was my Heavenly Father. Brother Paul speaks often how wonderful it is that we have a Heavenly Father that cares for us, amen? More than we, I believe, can even ever imagine how He cares for His children. Hey, if He didn't care for us, He would never send His Son to die for us, amen? I think, what a gift for Heavenly Father. And then, of course, that led me to thirdly, the Holy Spirit. How would we walk in this old world without the leading and the guidance of the blessed Holy Spirit that abides within us? Huh? How would we know whether to make a right or wrong decisions without the Holy Ghost speaking to us and helping us guide our way? Huh? What would we do without the Comforter had He not come? How would people get saved without the Holy Ghost reproving and convicting and wooing and drawing? I thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now begin to think about, fourthly, the church. What a gift the church is. My brothers and sisters in Christ, my family, amen. Well, I'll tell you right now, I love each and every one of you from the bottom depths of my heart. And I thank God for this church. Well, I got saved in this church. My family got saved in this church. Well, I thank God for the church, and may I remind you that the church is the bride of Christ. Huh? Hey, when He's coming back, He's not coming back for some club. He's coming back for His bride, the church. Hallelujah. Then I thought, fifthly, well, what about the gift of our families? Well, I've got a wife. Well, I love her dearly. She'd have to be a good one to put up with me. And I've got a daughter, huh? I've got a mother. I mean, think about the gift of the family that God has given to us. Well, that's precious. And all these are, and these are just five, are wonderful gifts that God has given to us. And something we certainly don't need to take for granted. But I want to ask you a question tonight, church. Out of the things that come to your mind when I ask you the question of some of the greatest gifts that God's ever given to us, did this one come to your mind? Our pastor? Our pastor. I mean, do we consider our pastor as a gift that God has given us? The Bible says that a pastor is a gift from God's own heart. And with that, if you'll open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, in the third chapter, we're going to read one verse of Scripture. I'm going to share a few thoughts with you. I'm going to preach 3 points with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to get out of the way. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 3, if you found your place, if you'd stand with me. Reverence to reading of God's holy word. Verse 15, the Bible says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I come bow before You. Lord, I need You tonight. Lord, I pray You'd make preaching easy. Lord, I pray You'd bring things to my mind, God. Lord, that only You would have spoken. Lord, there'd be nothing said of my flesh, but Lord, it'd be just exactly what You'd have spoken through me. That, Father, this Thy people would be encouraged. That, Lord, the church would be edified, God, built up, but yet challenged. And Lord, we'd examine our hearts. Lord, we'd realize, Lord, some things, some precious gifts, God, that You've given to us. And Lord, You've told us in Your Word, where much is given, much is required. Now, Lord, I pray You'd take control of this service, and God, You'd have Your way. And I'll be very careful to praise and honor You, for it's in Christ's name I do very humbly pray. Amen. Thank You so very much, and you may be seated. That verse again says, and I will give you pastors. That word, pastor, if you translate that word, it's from the Greek word, rao, and it means, church, to tend a flock. It also has other meanings, which implies companion, associate with as a friend, to keep company with, a herdman, to keep, or shepherd. That is the translation, the definition of the word pastor. And quite honestly, to tend the flock finally summed it all up for me. Can I ask you some questions here that I have already asked myself? You see, church, I'm a preacher. God called me to preach. I stand here and look every single one of you in the eye. And I can tell you just as sure as I know I'm saved, God called me to preach. I know it without a doubt. But God ain't called me to be a pastor. And there's a difference. Are we aware, I mean truly aware tonight, that one of the greatest gifts that God's given us is a pastor? What would the local church be tonight without a pastor? Think about that for just a second. What would the local New Testament church be without a pastor? She'd be in a mess, I can tell you that much. Brother, God knows what He's doing. Let me ask you this. Again, these are questions I have already asked myself. When was the last time we thanked God for our pastor? Hey, do we pray daily for our pastor, and not only our pastor, but for his family? I'm not talking about just, be with Darren and his family. I'm talking about earnestly lifting him up in prayers. Like I'll guarantee you, he does us. I believe with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might, that God specifically gave us our pastor as a gift here at Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. Listen to me. It's not an evangelist, it's not a preacher, it's not a missionary that carries the burden for the local church, it's the pastor. We might have a revival service and wonderful, wonderful men of God come in here and stand behind this sacred desk and preach, and they may have different mannerisms, a different delivery, and we may really, really love his preaching. Or they may be some missionary that comes in here and's got this wonderful heartfelt message that touches us deeply. And it may be some evangelist that comes in here and God breezes through and stirs in folks' souls and people get saved. Glory, hallelujah, I say. But they're out the door. They don't have the burden that the pastor carries for his church. And it's God's church. The pastor of the local church, he plows every Sunday morning. He plows every Sunday evening. He plows every Wednesday. He's in his prayer closet. I said he's in his prayer closet. Earnestly and fervently seeking God's face. About what, preacher? About the well-being of every single member of the congregation. And their families. About guidance and direction for this church as God would have him to lead it. Your pastor is the one who will, time after time after time, he will declare the precepts, the truth from the Word of God to you in love, even if it hurts. Yet when everything is spinning out of control, he'll be the one there for you. That's a pastor. You know, I give you that definition of that Greek translation, and it means to tend the flock. You think about this. I mean, Brother Darren, a couple of weeks ago, he even preached on the lost sheep. And you think, you know, how do sheep get lost? They got a tendency to just wander out on their own. Brother, God knows what He's doing when He put pastors to tend the flock. Hey, not only is He in there in that prayer closet praying for you and your family, I can guarantee He's praying for your children and their well-being too. We ought to get amen out of that. I mean, I thank God that Sunday, right before school started, that we could get a whole slew of youngins, all different ages, down here and go before the throne of God and ask Him, Lord, watch over these youngins. Huh? Protect these youngins. Help them make right decisions. Wise choices. But you know what? I can guarantee you one thing. I'll guarantee you that prayer didn't end Sunday with him. Yeah, I realize something here, church. This is very important. Our pastor ain't perfect. But I got a little secret for you. You ready? Neither are we. Amen? I thought about this. If we're looking for a perfect church and a perfect pastor, which there ain't no such thing, but let's just say for the sake of me getting this point across to you, we're looking for a perfect church and a perfect pastor. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to go out them doors, you're going to get in your vehicle, and you're going to put a whole lot of miles on your car of going up and down the road looking for something that you ain't going to find. And even if you could find a church that was perfect and a pastor that was perfect, you don't know what had happened? When we went through the door, we'd mess it up. Amen? Thought about this. Did Moses always make right decisions? Absolutely not. Well, did David? I preached on David a couple weeks ago. Did he always make right decisions? Absolutely not. But you know what? They were still God's man. Chosen by God. They were God's leaders. Imperfect as they were, God chose them. So, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll give you 3 points about some benefits as an individual, as families, and as a church, some benefits of backing your pastor. Now I know what you're thinking. Let me just time out before I even go on to them points. Because I ain't done feeling it, Steve. You're thinking, preacher, you got something going on. You got something cooked up with your pastor. Now, I want to tell you something, church. Brother Darren, how many times do I call you a day? 10, 20, 30 maybe? No, I don't. I don't, church. He knows if he needs me, I'm there. I know he's got enough on his plate. And I don't call him all the time. God give me this message? No, I think God give me this message because we are so blessed here at Bethel. I have never been so naive. I've told my wife this. I've never been so naive to think that the day that I get prideful and haughty and high-minded and some of those things, or I just flat out get the pooch lip and I go out the doors and get in my vehicle and say, I'm just going to go somewhere else. I've never been so naive to think that just as quick as I got up, God wasn't putting somebody else right there. Oh, yes, He can. Amen. Some benefits of backing your pastor. Number one, if we'll back our pastor, here's what it'll do for us. This is a benefit. We'll bypass a lot of problems. We'll bypass a lot of problems. Now, those of you that work and are fortunate enough, I should say, to work somewhere where you have benefits. You know, benefits can be anything from health insurance, dental insurance, vision insurance. It can be bonuses. It can be all these different things. But regardless of it, a benefit is something additional to your wages. Amen? So I want you to keep that in the back of your mind about a benefit. So number one, if we back our pastor, we'll bypass a lot of problems in this whole life. So if you do me the honor, turn into Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, in the 13th chapter. We'll look at a verse. Hebrews 13:17. Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. See, if we'll take heed to this precious word that's proclaimed week in and week out from the Word of God through the pastor, if we'll do that, it will bypass us for a lot of problems, a lot of snares, a lot of traps, a lot of things out there on our way in this old life. I've come home and tell me about the message Brother Darren preached Sunday night about a soft heart. You see, if we'll keep our heart soft and to where it's pliable, that what comes forth from this pulpit, the Word, amen, and we'll take that and our heart soft and we'll find a good lodging place, amen, if we'll do that, see, it'll help us. I'll guarantee you one thing. The pastor is not up here to hurt you. He loves you. I'll guarantee you one thing. When I preach that message, oh, you can be sure your sin is going to find you out. That's probably the hardest message I've ever had to preach inside the confines of this holy sanctuary. I did not preach that at nobody. I sure didn't preach it to hurt nobody's feelings. I preached it because God told me to. And He does the same thing. I thought about this. Say we're out on the interstate and we've got a particular destination that we're trying to get to. We ain't got no TomTom, no GPS, no cell phone. We've got a map, but guess what? We didn't read it. You follow me? And so we're going down through the road, you know, doing our own thing. And about 2 miles from the exit we're supposed to get off of, there's a big old sign. And it's got the name of the road and the destination that we're trying to get to. And it's saying, exit 2 miles. And we see that sign. And we say, hallelujah. Thank you, sign. And we get another mile. And another sign pops up. And it's got the same thing. And it says, exit 1 mile. And then another half a mile. There's another sign. Until finally we arrive at our exit. And we get off. And guess what? Lo and behold, we end up right at our destination. Now, if we hadn't looked at them signs, we ain't read the map, and if we didn't look at them signs and we just sped right on past that, would we turn around and go back and get mad at them signs? No. Then why is it when the pastor is trying to give us some directions? Huh? Why is it we'll turn around and we'll get mad at him, and all he's doing is trying to help us? Amen? And I thought about this on the analogy of them signs. There might be a particular sign, a warning sign, if you will, about a particular sin, or maybe more than one sin, that God has laid on his heart, that he gets up here and he preaches in love to you, trying to make a big old sign that you'll take heed to it and make application by them directions. But if we don't, you know what will happen? We're going to get in trouble every single time. I don't care what it is. Man of God, get up. He'll preach on adultery. Just take adultery, for example. Bounces right off. I'm preaching it right. Preach on things that we don't necessarily want to hear about. And so we just drive right on by. And all he's trying to do is put up a sign that will warn us, that God give him that warning sign to deliver to us. Now I submit to you that if you'll back your pastor, if you'll take heed to what he's preaching from the Word of God, you'll bypass a lot of problems. Number two, if we'll back our pastor, it'll bless our children. I cannot believe nobody didn't amen me on that. That troubles me. My youngin' got saved in this church. Glory, hallelujah. I believe that the way we treat our pastor can determine the future of our children. Did you know? Let me ask you something. Boy, can study this. God just give this to me, and here it comes. And I ain't going to apologize for it. I've done told you. If you don't like it, if you push away from the table, just go tell Jesus on me. Amen? Because he's the one to give it to me anyway. You know what? I thought about this. What if the pastor put a sign up on his office door back yonder and put hours 9 to 5 with an hour for lunch? And Saturday and Sunday, no counseling. I might come visit if you got an emergency, if I'm done studying in my office. You know, there's so-called pastors like that. You ought to thank God yours ain't like that. Go with me to 2 Kings. Would you do me the honor of going to the Old Testament, 2 Kings? Now, I chose 2 Kings because Brother Darren is going through 2 Kings. And I figured it would be fresh in our minds. Go with me to chapter 4. And I know this is familiar. Should be very fresh in our minds after Brother Darren preached this wonderful message. But there's a story, 2 Kings chapter 4, about a Shunammite woman. And I'm going to read a few verses, and then for the sake of time, I'm going to skip and try to make a point here. Beginning in verse 8, the Bible says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, and there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. You see, that woman made provisions for the man of God. And Elisha comes and he lays down there, and we find that he asked Gehazi, what a wonderful message on Gehazi. What could he do? You know, he asked him, what could he do? Could he, I believe the Bible says, he asked him, could he speak to the king for him? Or the captain of the host? And she says, no, I'm just a person of my own people. You know, I'm fine, I'm content right here. And the man of God tells her she's gonna have a young. And it comes to pass, in verse 17, the Bible says, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Watch this. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. Can I ask you something? When death comes or sickness comes, who's the first one you run to or you want to call? Now, I'm preaching it right. And this woman goes to the man of God. And the story goes on. And Elisha sends Gehazi with his staff to lay on that young'un. But it don't work. And so Elisha goes himself. And we'll pick up in verse 32 here. And the Bible says, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Please don't misinterpret or misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if one of your young'uns or a member of your family gets deathly sick, that you can call your pastor and he can come perform some miracle of his own power. I am not saying that whatsoever. I am just merely making a point that this woman went to the man of God, and the man of God, because she had made provision for him, she had looked out for him. Amen. God blessed that and revived that young. There's a flip side to that. While you're in 2 Kings, flip back with me to chapter 2. Verse 23. The Bible says, and he went up from thence unto Bethel. We're talking about Elisha still. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. Now that sounds like a terrible story, don't it? I mean, and just to read that without studying that out just a little bit, you'd think what cruel punishment on a bunch of youngins. The Bible don't tell us what age them youngins is, but I've done a little bit of studying on this right here, and I can tell you right now that Bethel wasn't this Bethel. Bethel, they had idols. They were worshiping false gods. Which tells me that there was people there, parents and leaders, who were worshiping those false graven images. Amen? Now, these youngins, and for the goodness of me, and preacher, I'm not trying to add or take away from the Word of God, but I cannot imagine them being this little in my mind. Okay, amen. Church? Amen. So let's strike that from your mind. You looked at me, little thing there. And they come out. I believe they had indignation against him, against the man of God, as he come in. It might have been because Elisha. And he might have been, it might have said, right there where they said, go up. I thought about this. They might have been mocking him because of Elijah and the way he's took up. Huh? Regardless, they're mocking the man of God. And I believe they're railing on him. I mean hard. And I believe with all my heart, Elisha's walking and he's walking and he's walking. And finally, he had heard enough. Not because it was against him, but it was because it was against the God he served. And he turned around, Brother Paul. And I believe he rebuked him. And I believe he rebuked him. He didn't curse. He didn't spiritually call them she bears out on them. Read the text. God sent them she bears out. And judgment came against them. Why, preacher? Because, you see, what we don't understand, now listen to me, what we don't understand is when you come against your pastor, you're not shaking your finger in his face, you're shaking your hand in the face of Almighty God. That's good preaching. Thought about this. Where did them youngins, regardless of their age, where did they learn? But see, where did they learn to mock and make fun of the man of God? They learned it from their parents and their peers and those who are supposed to be in leadership roles and setting example for our younger generation. Amen? Thought about this. How many times do you reckon? Now, I'm not just talking about our pastor. I'm talking about all pastors that's fundamentally sound in the Word, that preach and declare God's precepts Sunday in and Sunday out. How many times do you reckon the man of God goes back yonder and stands to shake everybody's hand? Because it's his flock he's tending. He wants to be a friend and a companion, amen. He has your best interest at hand. It is you he's praying for. He is trying to give you direction. And you shake his hand and say, Pastor, good message. Really appreciate that. And you go and you get in your car. And your youngins is in the back seat. And all the way home, you run him down. Where do they hear that from? Turn with me to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. Read just a few verses to you. I'm going to read the whole thing. Verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Let me stop right there. God led me to this scripture. And I read that verse. And I'm just being as honest as I can be with you. And I read that verse. And I thought, you know what? He ought not have married that Ethiopian woman. God got a hold of me and said, see, you're doing it. You see, he wasn't speaking against the man of God. They're speaking against God Himself. And the Bible says, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath He not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Let me tell you something, church. You may think you're in the confines of your home or wherever it may be, and nobody around you knows, nor nobody hears you, but I want to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, God hears you. Now the man Moses was very meek. Ain't that something? He's meek, humble. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. My. I'm nowhere close to that. I'm a million miles away from that church. I desire that. But I got such a long way. That's a profound statement about the man of God, Moses. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam. Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. You see, God hears it. God wants to bring it out. God will bring it out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And He said, hear now My words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make Myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all Mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord, he shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against My servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Now listen, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, My Lord, I beseech Thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let not her be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. Verse 13, and Moses cried unto the Lord. I believe he cried to the Lord. I believe he wept bitterly. Heal her now, O God, I beseech Thee. Beseech means to beg. Just as simple as I can, it means to beg. I believe he was begging God to heal her. He wouldn't say, yeah, Lord, you're right. She ought not spoke again me. She got what she deserves. He didn't say that. The Bible says that he prayed. The Bible says, cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech Thee. My. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. What if every time that something come out of our mouth against our pastor that wasn't supposed to come out, what if God shut us out for 7 days at a time? But your numbers would drop. Amen. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. God healed her. God heard His prayer and healed her. And I used that as an illustration there, so maybe you would understand. Is it any wonder the Bible speaks about our tongue being full and laden with iniquity? Huh? And of all people, I would hope that we, on a Wednesday night, grounded Christians, maturing Christians, would have enough holy fear of God Himself that we would not come against God's anointed. I believe with all my heart, if we'll back our pastor, He'll bless our children. God will bless our children. I mean, Elizabeth was telling me today at work, she said, Reagan loves Pastor Darren. She just loves him. I mean, how many of these younguns you ever seen that didn't love him? You know why? Let me tell you why. God showed me this. Because children's hearts are pure and they're innocent. Yes, they're born with a sin nature, but at that age, they're innocent and honest and pure. And see, when they come to Brother Darren, that innocence and that purity, there's a bond there. You know why? Because he has a genuine love and concern for that child. Now that may not mean a lot to you, but my youngin's 16-year-old dearly and driving. Huh? And she's looked up to him for a long time. I'm going to tell you something. I'll guarantee you they spent a lot of prayers went up on my youngin's behalf from him. Well, that means something to me, amen? And you'll say, well, preacher, yeah, I agree with you. But does it sink in? Is it sinking in? Goodness forbid something happened to one of you youngins to sink in. Number three, I believe if we'll back our pastor, you ready for this? I always save the best for last. That God will bless you financially. Time out! Don't misconstrue this. I am not saying in any way, shape, or form that because we back our pastor that we're going to get a raise, or we're going to get a new or better job, or we're going to get anything materialistic. Personally, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what. Right on. Praise God, Brother Steve. I believe the better we take care of our pastor, the more God's going to bless the church. We're part of this church. I mean, I don't know if any of you seen, but the work that's going on, ain't that a blessing? Some of you may not like this. I don't care. I do not care. And I say that with all tenderness and love, beloved. But I praise God that we have a church that works, that's doing something, that ain't sitting around content, comfortable, and complacent. We're not giving the devil no room. We just keep moving on. But they're putting a deck up down there at the parsonage. What a blessing. That's a blessing. I don't know which of you are doing it, but I commend every one of you. Thank every one of you from the bottom of my heart. But think about all that I told someone. I said, I wish I had a picture of when me and my family first come to this church. And what it looks like, the grounds and so forth and so on. And I had frames. If I had them screens up there, this is going to make him belch on me. If I had them screens up there, I could put them up there and flash them for you. You could see those pictures. And you could see the progression of how God blessed this church, amen. Up until right now. I think about all the new wonderful people that God sent this way. But most importantly, think of all the precious souls that God has saved. Now that's blessing a church. And if you don't believe me, let me ask you something. Ask somebody that you know goes to a different church. Now try me on this. And ask them. I'm in a roundabout way. Or just come right out if you want to be like me and ask them. When's the last time somebody got saved? Or how many people you reckon got saved in the last year? And see what their reply is. And you tell me we ain't blessed. Amen. And you know what? He's going to save more. Yes, He is. Second Kings. Go back with me to Second Kings. In chapter 4, read a few verses here. I'm talking about God's blessing. God's blessing on the church. Amen? But if you think about it, you really are blessed individually and personally and as a family. If you're a member of this church, God's blessing. If He pours His blessings out on it, amen? Sure you are. The Bible says, "Now there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow three vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut up the door upon thee and upon thy sons. And thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Well, I pray that the precious Holy Spirit will always abide in this place. Amen. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. I use this little bit of text to relate to how God has a vastless, limitless supply of blessings, grace, mercy, forgiveness, salvation that He wants to pour out on this church. Believe that with all my heart. If we'll back our pastor. Matthew 16:18. You know that one? Jesus is asked the question, Whom say men I am? Boy, that'd be a good question to ask people at work, out in the community. Who do you think Jesus is? There's a good door to open up as a witness into a church. Peter answers and says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he goes on to say that upon this church, upon this rock, I will build my church. Let me stop right there. Let me run over that right quickly, Pastor. That rock is not Peter. That rock is not Mary. That rock is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only rock, the only solid foundation upon which we can build our lives. Storms come raging against us. She'll stand, amen. And Jesus goes on to say that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Against what? Against His church. I'm going to tell you, He wants to bless our church. Go back our pastor. Go with me to Exodus. Exodus 17. Exodus 17 and verse 8. The Bible says, Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took him a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek with his people with the edge of the sword. When the man of God Moses, when he got tired and he couldn't hold his hands out, he got weary, amen. You know what? Hey, it's 2 hours. You know what they done? They brought him something. Put up under him, amen. He might get a little rest. And when he couldn't hold his hands up, One got on one side, Brother Matt, and one got on the other. The Bible says they stayed his hands. And they won the battle. They won the battle. God gave them the victory. Can I say something tonight? We need more purrs. That other feller that was holding his hand, we need some more of them. Glory to God, we need more of them. So I wonder tonight, church, will you stand and help save the man of God's hands? Let me tell you what we need. Let me tell you what we got. And I'm about done. We need a pastor that's repeatedly on his knees, that knows what a prayer closet is. We need a pastor that's not only on his knees praying, but he's studying the Word of God. He's preaching the Word of God. He's witnessing. Glory, hallelujah. He's soul winning. He's visiting and he's comforting those in times of need. And I believe by my heart that's what you got, Bethel. Our pastor is not the janitor. He's the janitor. Let me say this. He is not our personal servant. God put him in a position to lead the church as God leads him. And if you don't like that, take it up with God. How else are you going to gain knowledge and understanding that I read to you at the beginning of the message unless you have a pastor to declare it? And let me say this. Oh, Miss Gina, they're really not going to like this. When it comes time, you know, every year, those of us that work public jobs, usually, sometimes even in a bad economy, we get a raise. See, I know you're going to get money in it sometimes. Well, just hold on. We get a raise. You know what? A lot of times, whether we deserve it or not. And I want to say tonight, it's not up to the deacons. And it ain't up to the finance committee if the pastor gets a raise. They ought to have one vote just like everybody else that's a member. It's up to the church. It ain't up to a group of men to decide whether or not he's worthy to get a raise or not. You didn't like that, did you? Told you you wouldn't. If heartache comes, goodness forbid, in whatever form, who's going to be the first one to be there? Lest when something terrible happens, I submit to you, it'll be your pastor. My grandfather, when he passed away, and my wife and my family, they'll witness to this tonight. When he passed away, and he wasn't a member of this church, never even come to this church, hardly none. Do you know who was the first one there to pray with my family? My pastor was. Yeah, he was. Tell me who would be the first one there when you need somebody. I guarantee you it'll be your pastor. You know why? Because he's got a burden for you and your family and he loves you and he cares for you. Why is that so hard? Read this one more time. Obey them. Lord, help me. That's the problem right there, ain't it? Look at me, church. That's the problem, ain't it? Yeah, it is. See, I was in the military. I don't have a problem with obeying. I mean, I didn't have a choice the time I was in there. If you've been in the military, you know what I'm talking about. But we've got this my way mentality. My way, my way, my way, my way. The Bible says obey. That's what the Bible says. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves. That's important, church. For they watch for your souls. That is the single most important thing. That He's watching for your soul. I believe that there's different degrees of accountability. I do, Pastor. I believe you and I have a greater accountability. I sure do. But you're not getting off scot-free either. Because if you're saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're accountable also. I mean, can you imagine having this many people? What a wonderful crowd. Bless y'all's heart. On a Wednesday night. You thought she was going to hear you, Pastor. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Now listen, I'm closing. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. Cohen. For that is unprofitable for you. I think that sums it up right there. If you'll back your pastor, if you'll hang in here, if you'll pray in love for one another, huh? I guarantee you, his heart's desire is for this church to be unified, woven and knit together in love, tenderness, compassion. Amen? God will bless that. God will bless that. So the most important reason that we need to back our pastor is because God's Word instructs us to, church. His Word instructs us to. And our pastor watches out for our souls. Then there's that last warning. And I'd like to say, I love you. I look you dead in the eye and tell you I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you stand for, what you've been through, and you're still right here with us. I appreciate the burden that you carry. None of us carry. Listen to me. Granny Louise, can you hear me? Bless your heart for that birthday dinner. Sunday for him. Okay? That's great. Okay? And I don't want to make light of it, okay? And bless every single person that gave a penny for the offering that we gave him. Okay? Every single person. Bless your heart. But I can tell you, as a preacher, I'm not a pastor, but as a preacher, that I'll guarantee you, he appreciates your prayers and a heartfelt, sincere thank you more than anything. Let me illustrate, and I promise I'm done. I preached that message on you can be sure your sin will find you out. And beat myself up and up and up over I scared to death I'd made somebody mad, offended somebody, done something to somebody. And I got a phone call the other day, and it was Brother Paul. Had never called me before, had you, Paul? And said, Shane, want to tell you, I appreciate the message. Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. He couldn't have given me $1 million. And it meant no more than what he did right then. And I say that to say this. A heartfelt thank you and your prayers is what he desires and what he needs. Amen. I can tell you before the good Lord, right now, in all honesty, that I did not come in here tonight to lift him up. I did not do that. I did, however, come in here to declare to you
with as much truth and love as I could about I believe with all my heart there's some benefits if we'll back our pastor. It is our responsibility. I thought about this today, and I promise I'm trying to shut up. I thought about this today. I've got a good job. Very thankful for it. My wife has a good job. I'm very thankful for it. We rely on our jobs for our wages. Is there anyone in here besides the pastor who relies totally upon us financially? No. No. I submit to you, it is our responsibility, it's our duty to take care of the man of God. And that's my message. Is all hearts and minds clear? I believe we got a gem. I believe I'm at the best church, period. And I believe I've got the best pastor, period.